Father of Comfort Bible Study Lesson Number 8, January the 2nd, 2012. Every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from above from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, be the shadow of turning. Therefore, everything that we find, all the comfort that we can find in this world, this true comfort, comes from God. He is the God of comfort. Father is the one we have to learn to turn to and to depend on at all times, under all circumstances. Believers get lost in the shuffle of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3 is a fascinating verse. We're going to look at it not today, but in great detail, but it's a verse that we have to look at along the way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of mercies. It can also be translated compassions. And the God of all comfort. That's the King James translation of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. The God of all comfort. The Holman Bible translates it. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Frequently, the Apostle Paul used the form of the verb thank in the introductory portions of his letters, our praise. For we have eulogetos, blessed be. I often translate the word. Blessed eulogetos there, worthy of all praise, glory, and adoration. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of mercies, the God of all comforts. Praise Him. Ephesians, Paul, instead of using thanks, uses praise. He does it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and these are doxologies. Peter does it also, as we point out, using only three times. Eulogetos is used. God is praised as a source of all blessings. Jesus is taught that your Father also is merciful. In Luke 6:36. He's kind to the needy, Isaiah 40, verse 1 teaches us. Speaks of God's comfort. Our relief in time of suffering, in time of pain, and in time of sorrow. The NASB translates this verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of comfort, also using the word comfort in the translation. All right, before we begin the study this morning, let's pause for solid prayer to give you time to make sure you're under the filling of the Spirit and that you have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise that your word will not return void, but will accomplish all that you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify and to bless in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. An interesting thing happened in 1950. On May 6, 1950, a gospel song by the name of Steal Away went to number 9 on the bestseller charts. At that time, the bestseller charts in country music only listed 15 songs. Steal Away was a old gospel song, which the singer who put it up to number 9 added some recitation to it. Then, in June of 1950, on June the 22nd, 1950, the backside of that song, Just a Closer Walk to Thee, made number 9 on the best seller list. Hitting the charts. An evangelical gospel song. The man who put it on the charts' name was Red Foley. Red Foley had been born on the 17th of June in 1910. So he had just turned 40 years old when this song made the charts. A gospel chart. On a record list. Now, this was the 28th record that Red Foley had placed on the charts. The charts only dated back to 1944. There was no country separate division of charts with Billboard magazine until then. Country hillbilly folk, they used different names for it, was basically ignored. Then on January the 8th, 1944, they released their first chart known as the Jukebox Folk Records. Based upon the most played songs from the jukeboxes of what they called folk or hillbilly records. Calling it, first of all, folk music, January 8, 1944, and then flipping it to what they called hillbilly in September the 6, 1947. But back to folk records, and calling them folk in January of 1948, and in June 25, 1949, they switched over to calling them country and western. In November of 1950, still trying to figure out what to call them, they called them folk, country, and western. The bestseller list did not begin until May 15, 1948, so it was only barely 2 years old. Started out with a total of 15 songs. They were called the best-selling retail folk records until June 25th of 1949, about a little over a year and a month after they started, and when they became best-selling retail folk, country, and western records. December 1949 had also put out what they call the country western records most played by folk disc jockeys. Were the three charts. The disc jockey plays only covered the top 10. The bestsellers went to 15. The jukeboxes went to 15. And it was with this that Red Foley who had been born in Blue Lick, Kentucky, near Blue Lick, and Berea had been born a singer, a songwriter, a guitar player, a harmonica player, a string bass player, an MC, later a TV actor. Star of his own national television country music show in the 1950s. Came out and released a song. His first hit on the charts. Don't want to bore you, but just to give you a background, was Smoke on the Water, August 26, 1944. It was at first place for 13 consecutive weeks. A patriotic song relating to World War II. His second chart listing was As a Bright Star Shining, As a Blue Star Shining Bright, another song related to World War II. He recorded a hit, another military type patriotic hit called It Mail Call Today that charted and went to number three, that he did it with the Lawrence Welk Orchestra and his orchestra backing him up. A versatile singer. One of the great hymn singers of country music and gospel songs ever was, who, when asked one time how he was able to sing like that, so well with the hymns that could put them over and sell a gospel song to a congregation or a hymn, told another country music performer, I think it was the late Billy Walker, wonderful believer who now with our Lord Jesus Christ, the tall Texan. But I could be wrong, Billy was with him the day before in the last show that he ever performed, next to the last show he ever performed, or the last show before he was killed. Time with him that day, but he told, I think it was Billy Walker that he told that he sang the song by pretending and looking at the idea that he was singing to his mother, his father, back at home growing up. But he sang the song, just a closer walk with the author of this song is unknown. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I am soft, I am strong. It's an interesting comfort song. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee, granted Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee, granted Jesus is my plea. Just to know thus saith the Lord, let it be, dear Lord. Let it be. Very fascinating and interesting song. The author, as I said, is unknown. The source of the tune is unknown. Believed to be. Said an evangelistic song, probably coming out of the late 1800s, early 1900s, but they're not sure exactly. It could be far older than that. When Red Foley put this song out, so when people began to call the radio stations asking to play this song, it was at a time when the Korean War just broke out. America was back in a war. Just 5 years after ending the bloodiest war in the history of the human race, we call World War II. 16 million people in uniform in that war. Women leaving their homes and their children to go work in the factories. All the things that went out of it, but we came out of that war victorious. Here we were 5 years later in an obscure little place called the Korean Peninsula. fighting a bloody war that we would not win. We would win the war against the Koreans and be held to a stalemate in the war with the Red Chinese Communists. People were looking for hope. And when he put that song out, he sang it with such fervor of his heart, he gave hope to people. For 11 weeks it was on the radio chart. And he only had 15 songs on the chart. Climbing to the highest place was 9th place. And on the best-seller record list, I should say. People played it on the jukebox, on the radio stations. So many country stations didn't like it. The owners of the stations didn't want to spend advertising money, like to keep the gospel music separate. It was released on their labels, Faith Series, as they came to call it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, sat at the right hand of the Father. Ray Palmer in 1830 wrote the psalm, "My faith looks up to thee, thy Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away, O let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire as thou hast died for me. Oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Be it darkness turned today, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When in life's transit dreams, when death's cold sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear, and distress, distrust remove, O bear me safe above, a ransomed soul." Amen. Both of these are songs of hope and aspiration. Jesus is the one, our Savior. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even them that believe on his name. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ brings comfort to our soul. The Father has sent Christ to bring comfort to our soul. The divine comforter, first and foremost, as we have seen, Christ said, "If I go away, I will send you another comforter." The other comforter, as we have seen, is the Holy Spirit. Christ is the comforter, 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he comforts your hearts. The Father sent him. He came forth from the Father. Father is the God of all comfort. Christ said he would send the Holy Spirit, the comforter of the Holy Spirit. The comforter of the Holy Spirit would come. We now find that we must look to comfort the Scriptures. The Bible presents the sublime revelation of the God of all comfort and was written by holy men who were moved by the Spirit, Peter tells us. All Scriptures God breathed is given for doctrinal teaching, for proof, for correction, for instruction. Christ, the man of God, may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, says Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. We must learn to look to Scripture to find our comfort. Many were inspired by the Holy Spirit, the ever-present comforter, to give us doctrinal concepts and doctrines to give us comfort this time. We know many people who need comfort this time. People who've lost their spouse recently. People who've found out they've got incurable health problems. People people who are long-term without work and running out of everything. Some have lost their homes. All their savings wiped out by the greed of a small group of people trying to destroy middle-class America and take us back to a feudal system and their deals with international, with the international world scene. To do it, America sold its heritage away for a little quick greed. Christmas time passed. People at Christmas time often watch old movies. They get sentimental. They watch sentimental movies where good is supposed to win out over bad. You see the greed, and it's a wonderful life of the rich old banker. Who's got more money than he knows what to do with, as he's told. You can begin to spend all your money. He doesn't care. He just wants more. He even steals the $8,000 that the guy called Uncle Billy in the movie accidentally left in the envelope stuck in the newspaper when he was showing the guy how proud he was of his nephew getting the Congressional Medal of Honor. Ready to put a young man in jail. Hero of the movie, James Stewart, if you know the story. Greed. Other movies out. Mrs. Santa Claus has been out for years. About a woman who's Mrs. Santa Claus who comes down to a factory at the turn of the century. A toy factory to check on the quality of toys and things. Gets a job in there where they're using child labor. These are revolt for quality of toys versus just some cheap thing, which she has the villain of the movie or the writer of the script as the villain of the movie make the statement that the toys only have to last. I forget if it's till they get out of the shop or get out of the store, they're sold. That doesn't matter what happens. It might be fall apart with the little kiddies. Make that money. There are many other movies like it. I just cite a couple of things that are very famous. We see evil around us. But what do we do in the midst of all this? What do you expect? We live in the world of Satan control. We live in a world of sin and evil. Why should we expect anything any different? So what do we do? We turn to God for wisdom, for guidance, and for comfort. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The New King James Version says things which were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. When you compare the King James with the New King James, the Authorized one. From the very beginning of recorded words, countless multitudes have found comfort and encouragement in experiences of the people who are described in the Word of God. Historical documentations of what some people call Bible characters. The truths that the Holy Spirit have enabled them to set forth for us in Scripture to comprehend, to understand, to read, to study, to believe in. Thy word have I hid in my heart, the psalmist wrote, that I might not sin against thee. Paul wrote in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. In Romans 10:17, he wrote, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No matter what our calling may be in life, no matter what trials, sorrows, and disappointments will lie along the way, we may be besieged in our pathway, attacked from along the trails of life. There's always a consoling passage to suit our needs and to help us to go on. comfort in our soul. Now, Scripture says, in everything give thanks, this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Our joy may be tranquil joy, just the satisfaction to make it through another day without panicking. Tranquil joy. Or it may be the tranquility. It may be the rare occasions of ecstatics. The man on his honeymoon may be in ecstatics. The man kneeling at the side of the dying wife needs tranquility comfort. Look at Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that he should know how to speak, and a word in season. To him that is weary, he waketh. Morning by morning, he waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. You learn Bible doctrine, you study Bible doctrine. What do you have? A word in season to him that is weary. A word to carry us through the trials of life. We're tired and we're weary. There's a word to the weary there. Look at Psalm 119:99. Psalm 119. 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. More understanding. Wiser than his teachers. You see, when you learn, you have to know and learn doctrine, but to get understanding, you have to believe it by the filling of the Spirit. 2 Timothy 4:1-2. To the ministers of the Word of God, the evangelists, the Bible teachers, the pastor teacher here, written to the pastor teacher. I charge you therefore before God, as God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that is the living and the dead, that is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, in season when people want to study the word of God, out of season when people don't want a lot of Bible teaching. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Patiently keeps teaching the word of God and let it rebuke or exhort people. To the dying, Bible doctrine is the soothing words that are needed. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are the Spirit, and they are life. All these are words of comfort. An unknown poet wrote, Holy Bible, precious book, into thee I love to look. Thou art comfort in distress, and so many thou canst bless. Looking to the canon of Scripture to find hope where it's at. Why? Because the canon of Scripture is a living word. I quoted you two songs at the beginning of this class for a purpose. Just a closer walk with thee, and my faith looks up to thee. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the living Word, and the Word, the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When we look to the Word of God, we look to the mind of Christ to see us through our trials and tests, whether in time of need, weakness, sickness, poverty, distress, battles with sin, personal sin, or battles with the sins of others. How do we not judge and condemn them? But leave them to Jesus Christ. The Bible is the very message enabling us to manifest long suffering with true inner happiness. and to accept that all things, even the most unwelcome, work together for good. We're serving the Lord. Look at Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all thy might, according to thy glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness. I asked Stevenson, the poetess, wrote, when in sorrow, when in danger, when in loneliness, in thy love, deep down, and comfort their distress. This is what God the Father does when in our tribulation He directs us to some heartening word of His. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 5, we find an interesting verse in the Canticles. She says in verse 1, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among thy daughters. Scofield points out how poor the similes of the bride is compared to those of the bridegroom, to whom she is the lily among thorns. She can only say that he is an apple tree among the trees of the woods. As the apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. She was separated from her right man, the shepherd lover. Solomon, who had 1,000 wives, was pursuing her. As we've taught Song of Solomon, you may disagree with how we teach it, but we believe it's correct interpretation of it. Solomon chased her. He chased other women. Solomon had no capacity to understand what true love was. He had hardened his heart against that with all the pagan women he had taken for political reasons and married. It led him away from the things of God. She waited for her right man. She wanted to experience the restoring fragrance of this famous fruit and be sustained by its nourishing quality. Now we have a picture here of the church, typology prophetically. The church, which is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, the apples can represent his promises and manifold grace to her, the merit of her husband, the sense of his love, the fruits of his life, death, and resurrection. Now we see another great concept of this in a more complete and full matter of truth in the tribute that was given by the woman of Tekoa. She came before the king. Found in 2 Samuel 14:17, King James reads, the word of my Lord thy king shall now be comfortable. His words are ever soothing and satisfying. When all the comforts flee, he and his words abide with us. When we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ recognize that as saints we are set apart to God, that we belong to him, and that we come through the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Out on the field of battle in no man's land, the Lord pours blessings into our cup. The spiritual warfare, the angelic conflict. I prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Mercy and goodness shall follow me. The 16th century George Herbert wrote the Book of Books, the storehouse and magazine of life and comfort, the Holy Scriptures. That was his description of them. The son of the last high priest of Israel on the death march to Babylon, one of the chained prisoners. The writer of the 119th Psalm said in verse 82, "Mine eyes fail for thy words, saying, when wilt thou comfort me?" In so much pain and sorrow, he looked for comfort. We must never approach Scripture with such a question in vain. It is through the comfort of the Scriptures hope is born. For it is ever the joy and rejoicing of our heart. The 119th Psalm is a great source of comforting verses. From the Word of God, the prophecies and the promises, we can find comfort if we simply believe what is there. 1 Corinthians 14:31. I'll read this verse from the NASB. 1 Corinthians 14:31. For you can all prophesy. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn, and all may be exhorted. The purpose of Scripture . The prophet comes and prophesies. There are no more prophets today. The Scripture is complete. Verse 32 says that the spirits of the prophets are subject to prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of saints. Spiritual activities of those who were prophesying at Jerusalem were the gift of prophecy before Scripture were men who were teaching doctrine. It wasn't foretelling the future. They were teaching doctrines before the doctrines were recorded in the canon of Scripture. We know from correct interpretation of Ephesians chapter 3. And 4. No true prophet can claim a hearing on the ground that he is under a power over which he has no control. The prophet knows what he's saying and he thinks about it and understands it. He's speaking through the Word of God. The Old Testament prophets didn't always understand what they were prophesying. That's true. But they knew they were under the control of God and they knew what they were saying was for spiritual content and spiritual importance. Look at Psalm 119:52. I have remembered your ordinances from old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Remembering the things of God from old and remembering them finds comfort. Remembering them finds comfort. We must look for all our comfort the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God comes forth from God for our value, for our learning. But we have to make use of it. We can't just say, well, you know, everything's going to work out in the end. You know, it's like a man told me not long ago. Related to dispensational theology, you know, he says, he knows I'm a pre-tribulationist. He studies a bunch of men who are also post-tribulation, which is summer off. Post-millennialists, I should end up post-millennialists. He studied some of and some are amillennials. Amillennials don't believe in the rapture, don't believe in the second advent. Post-millennialists don't believe in the rapture, believe in the second advent, but only after man has conquered the world for Jesus. Evangelism, depending on which way they go, or through the sword. There's two different interpretations of what they're going to do. The sword now has been brought into political realms through politics, too. Starting with the moral majority's push in many ways. But people think they're going to bring in everything's going to work out their way. They do things. Well, my friend, the concept is, you know, where we'll be, sarah, sarah, idea of doing it. Rapture occurs, okay. Rapture doesn't occur, okay. Christ comes back, sets up a kingdom, we're still on the earth, what happens, okay. There is no kingdom, okay. Take what it is. But, you know, not try to search the scriptures to see if these things are of God. Therefore, depriving himself of the comfort that comes from Scripture. He deprives himself of the comfort that comes from Scripture. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of comfort. Part of the work of the Holy Spirit is in the area of bringing comfort into the soul of the believer. And this is what we need to look at. The Holy Spirit's work in relationship to the church of God. To us as believers, he's working through the Word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might sin against thee. The just shall live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But there is also God the Father has made provision for us to find comfort through the angels. Zechariah gives us a beautiful glimpse of the angelic ministry. The Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. King James Version translation. Zechariah 1:13. The last five words literally means words, consolations, and the subject of those consolatory words is the love of Jehovah for his people. A promise of a full establishment is predicted by Jeremiah and by other prophets. In Zechariah 29, 10 and 11. There is no Zechariah 29. I've got a typographical error in my notes. I know better than that. Let's try Jeremiah 29, 10 and 11. For thus saith the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you and bring you back to this place, for I know the plans that I have for you, declare the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah's prophecy was a prophecy of words that the priest could hold on to. The son of the last high priest on the death march, Ramah, Riblah, Babylon. Described in the 119th Psalm in the watches of the day. Each of the acrostic letters of the alphabet represents one day of the death march. But he survived it by the grace of God. He could write the 119th Psalm to give comfort to our souls, prisoner of war. Nebuchadnezzar carried in chains to Babylon. But he could hold on to the promise of Jeremiah that in 70 years they would come back. The mission of angels is the most profitable study. One striking feature of the service of these heavenly visitations is their appearance to those on earth was generally of consoling, encouraging nature. Now, we don't see angels today. They're not present as we in a relationship that they once were to the human race. The dispensation of the grace of God the Father, we are warned in Hebrews to be careful we may entertain angels unawares. But remember, when the angels appeared, they gave comfort. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What a blessing this was, Luke 2:10-11, to the shepherds. Surely our desolate world has never received a happier message than this. The angels guarded and consoled Jesus during his fierce contest with the devil. Look, Matthew 4:10-11. Matthew 4:10-11. Then Jesus said to him, Go, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and serve him only. Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Angels came and began to minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. During his terrible agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he sweated the great drops of blood in his great battle there with Satan, the passion, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him in Luke 22:43. The privileged angel fortified Jesus and sustained his sinking nature for the fierce struggle with the cruel foe. How consoled he must have been by the angel's presence and assistance. You see, how does that affect us? Well, it affects us in a little bit different way. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 for just a moment. Verse 13, But to which of the angels has he ever said, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? No angel was ever made given the right to sit at the right hand of the Father upon the throne. Satan sought this throne and didn't get it. Satan wanted it for his own, but he couldn't have it. It was reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ. That was part of the original satanic rebellion attempt to seize this empty throne. Isaiah 14 teaches this. But verse 14 says, Are they not all that is the elect angels, ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? The ministry of angels on behalf of believers continues today. The angels are ministering spirits. We don't see. We have our guardian angels out there. We never know when a guardian angel is keeping us alive. But it's comforting to know that God has set them to be there for us. Christ, comfort by other Christians. In 1 Corinthians, Paul, without any self-adulation, would exhort the believers in Corinth. Be imitators of me just as I am also. I also am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. It has been said that without an original, there can be no imitation. Paul's imitation of Christ can be truly seen. He dearly loved and sacrificially served with no artificial manufactured likeness. Paul was possessed by him. For me to live as Christ, to die as gains. Philippians 1:21. It was Jesus who reproduced himself through the life and labors of the apostle. See, we're God the Father has called us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Conformed to the image of His Son. Paul was seeking to be conformed to the image of His Son. Paul is the one who wrote the doctrine. Down in Psalm 20, or in Romans 8:29. So Paul speaks out and tells us to be imitators of Him, as I also am of Christ. To see Paul's sacrificial love and work. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work. Indeed. Paul's prayer for steadfastness on the part of Thessalonians closes this crucial section. Notice the closing prayer of his letter for their lives to be such as they could be commended by the Lord. Back to verses 11 and 12. For this reason, God will send unto them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may only be judged when who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Instead of following those who take pleasure in wickedness, we have to learn to take pleasure in truth. Now go to chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith and power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The ones in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, are those who follow the Antichrist after the rapture of the church. And God sends a great delusion, they believe a lie and be damned. We have the opportunity as believers here, though, to seek the truth and to walk in the truth and be found worthy of our calling. And this is what Paul wants us to do, and this provides comfort for us. So Paul's prayer for steadfastness on their part. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope of grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Now look at chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. Paul was praying for them to have peace and comfort in this world. When we have peace and comfort in this world, we need to be able to comfort others as the outcome of being initially comforted by God. Paul's ministry was conspicuous for its consoling influences, even as it was in the witness of other Bible saints, the other believers. What did Peter tell us? Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh of the hope that's within us. Paul tells the Corinthians that those declaring the oracles of God should do so not only for edification, but for comfort. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:3. For one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. The words of Paul used here mean kindly, soothingly, implying persuasion, power, and great tenderness. Look at Philippians 2:1. Therefore, if there be any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion. And there is, by our dependence upon Christ. It's the comfort of love. The NASV has consolation of love. The comfort of love is a correct translation of it. Either can be used and used correctly, I should say. Because they have an important summarized meaning in which we study there. Comfort of love, though. He employs a term implying the instruments wherewith the comforter acts, namely with soothing and consoling words. In his contact with others, Paul constantly showed this comfort of love. There is nothing cold or perfunctionary by his words and acts of comfort. Such comfort may be misunderstood, as was the motivation of David when he sent his servant to comfort Hanan on the death of his father, as seen in 2 Samuel 10:2. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanan, the son of Nahash, just as his father showed kindness to me. So David sent some of his servants to console him concerning his father. But when David's servants came to the land
of the Ammonites, the princes of the Ammonites, said to Hanun the Lord, do you think that David is honoring your father because he has sent counselors to you? Has David not sent his servants to you in order to search the city to spy it out and overthrow it? People often, in their evil, twisted thinking, distort the truth of what's happened. I remember years ago, someone who had been estranged from me died with tragic circumstances. Another pastor also had been estranged from this person, suggested two of us should go to the memorial service, offer some comfort to the family that we accept. With a sincere heart, I went. The other pastor changed his mind at the last minute and didn't show up. Some other people took it totally wrong at that memorial service by being there because they knew that myself and this person had been estranged. Some reactions came out of it. You cannot be friends with everybody in this world, but it doesn't mean you can't do what's right. Forgiving others even also as Christ has forgiven you means that we do not hold grudges against other people. Often the grudges are held by third parties who had nothing to do with the original issue to begin with. They want closure, we hear today. Give me closure, give me closure. Casting all your care upon him because he careth for you is the only place you and I'll ever find closure. Closure is through faith resting in God. God the Father's plan and the Lord Jesus Christ to take charge of the royal family of God. The leaders treated the agents of comfort as spies and shamelessly humiliated them. 1 Chronicles 19:1-5. 1 Chronicles 19:1-5. That came after this, that Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, died. His sons became king in his place, and David said, I will soon show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. So David sent messengers to console him concerning his father and David's servants. And they came unto the land of the sons of Ammon to Hanun to console him. But the princes of the sons of Ammon said to Hanun, do you think that David is honoring your father and that he has sent comforters to you? Have not his servants come to you to search it, to overthrow and to spy out the land? So Hanun took David's servants and shaved them and cut off their garments in the middle as far as their hips and sent them away. Then certain persons went and told David about the man he sent to meet them. For the men were greatly humiliated. The king said, stay at Jericho until your beards grow, and then return. Commending his fellow workers who had comforted him, Paul used a further word of comfort when he employed medicine, meaning to allay irritation. Colossians chapter 4, verse 11. Colossians 4:11 in ESV translating also Jesus who is called justice. These are the only fellow workers who are the kingdom of God who are for the circumcision. They are proved to be an encouragement to me. Comfort and encouragement. It was this way in friends he named greatly helped him in his artist ministry. You read for yourself Colossians 4:7-11, the other verses. Paul reveals his heart when he rebukes the carnal Corinthians for their treatment of the one who had them in his heart. The care of the church at Corinth was a heavy, irksome load, yet the apostle said he was filled with comfort. Look at 2 Corinthians 7:4. 2 Corinthians 7:4. Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowed with joy for our afflictions. Beset by fighting and fears within, he would write, nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. His reports from Titus as to how things were going. Paul had been greatly consoled by others. 2 Corinthians 7:6-7. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he comforted in you, as he reported to us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced evermore. They comforted Titus, his concern about what was going on at Corinth, concerning Paul, their relationship to Paul, and Titus brought the news back to him. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3:7. Written long before the Corinthian passage. For this reason, brethren, in our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith, seeing them applying doctrine was a comfort to Paul. Then there was Tychius, who, like Paul, was an imitator of the divine comfort. The apostle sent Tychius to comfort the hearts of believers in Ephesus and Colossae, that you read for yourselves, Ephesians 6:22 and Colossians 4:8. Other imitators of the comfort of God mentioned in Scripture are worthy of reference to God himself as the divine original. For he said of Israel, his adulterous wife, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her, Hosea 2:14. Hezekiah spoke comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 30:22. Here the Hebrew word for comfort will comfortably means to the hearts of all. When the lands were strengthened by the invasion of Sennacherib, Hezekiah spoke comfortably again to his people, urging them not to be afraid of the arms of the flesh. They were terrified by what had happened if the godless ruler was triumphant, 2 Chronicles 32:6 and 7. There may be a time in our experiences when we are well-intended comfort is spurned and rejected. We try to help people, but they refuse to see the comfort that we have to offer them. Job suffered much at the hands of his miserable comforters, Job 16:2 tells us. Still, after his severe trials were over, he was gratified by all the relatives and friends who came and comforted him over all the evil the Lord had brought unto him. They turned their back on him, but then they came to him at that time. They were indeed merry comforters. Isaiah was commissioned by the divine comforter to speak comfortably to Jerusalem, which he did with mighty effect, as seen in Isaiah chapters 40 and 41. We'll pick up here in the next class and continue our study. Father, we thank you for Bible doctrine to show us the way of life.